good recovery from the song leader. You have to learn to do that when you're up front, because those things can happen. Numbers chapter 35. Let's look at your Bible if you have it. I think you'll learn something tonight. And I know that Wednesday night is always a little rough on everybody because of just the fact that the day's gone on and you're tired and you've given out a lot already. And I commend you for your faithfulness, I mean that, in coming out. God bless you. It says something about you. But I also do understand, as I've gotten a little older, that sometimes things do happen where people can't get out. And so we're understanding of that as well. But if you're young, you've got no excuses. You just ought to be here. You're not. You haven't. All right. Anyway, I want to teach you something tonight from Numbers chapter number 35. I began a series. This is not kind of a repeat. Well, it is a little bit. But I began a series with the Thais in Thailand. Teaching them, and you'll just get a little bit of it tonight because of the timing. But I think there's some very important things here that we need to understand. Reading from verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. So that verse number 1 there is a time stamp, okay, because it tells us when this was said. And there's reasons for that, and I'll pull that out in a moment. But knowing when this was said, and we'll read what is going to be said, gives some insight to what God intended here. Verse number 2, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. Okay, now I'm not going to read on because that's about the introduction that we need. What we do know in verse number 7 is there are 48 cities are going to be given to the Levites. 6 of those will be cities of refuge, and we're not teaching on that tonight. But the map that's up there now is just a map of the designated areas that God gave to the various tribes when they were to go into the land. That was their possession. Now, they had to take it, and we've commented on that before, but that was their area. And it was done by lot, and so we can know that it was the Lord. He designated their areas. It wasn't random. It wasn't accidental. It was planned of God, and I can't explain the mind of God in all of that, but we know that that was definitely the plan of God. That happened in Joshua, and so the fact that what we're reading here is the Lord speaking through Moses prior to them going in tells us that this came before that. All right, and the thought there is that what God was saying is, look, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to have a substantial blessing, a substantial inheritance, but I'm telling you, and I know you haven't got it yet, and you have to bear that in mind. They didn't actually have hold of it yet, but the Lord was speaking as if they were certainly going to. And so what he was saying ahead is that when you get your inheritance, what I want you to do is I want you to understand now that you will give over some portion in your inheritance, in your land, to the cities of the Levites. And so they were to understand that before they went in. And I guess the thought there would be this: you should plan your giving before your getting, and understand ahead that when I get this, I'll give this. When this blessing comes, I'll give this. And by the way, you should do it. And so God was saying to them, even before you get all of this, you will give to me and to my purposes, which I'll explain in a moment. these cities to the Levites. And if you go to the next slide, there's only two. If you go to the next slide, that's just a map that shows the various cities of the Levites. And I want you to see that it was scattered throughout the land. And this was chosen of God, decided of the Lord. The red flagged ones are the cities of refuge. And what you ought to see immediately there is the accessibility of the Levites to everybody. And this is important. Sociology is the study of societies and men. Theology is the study of God. And what happens is many times when people read their Bible, they get a sociology mindset rather than a theology mindset, which means they often talk about things in terms of, well, Israel did this and Israel did that. And you're not incorrect if you're factually repeating the things that Israel did, but you need to understand that this is a spiritual book, and you have to be asking yourself, well, why? What you know, if you lose the God perspective from the Bible or from your life, you'll be saved, but you are going to go into a decline and ultimately end up not a whole lot different to people who are lost. And it's up to you to you know, a lot of people say they believe the Word of God is the Word of God, but far fewer people who say it actually attempt to live that out. So I believe it so much that I will default to the Word of God over the doctors. Or I will default to the Word of God over science, because I think science is actually wrong in some things. I don't drink the Kool-Aid. I don't believe, because they are these highly educated people who do get a lot of things right, that therefore they get everything right, and therefore according to them I'm supposed to interpret the Bible. I don't do that. But there'll be people here sitting here who do. All right? I don't make decisions about bringing up my children based on what psychologists and psychiatrists say, but a lot of you do. Okay? Because subconsciously what you've done is you believe your Bible, but you believe that these other people are authorities in all these areas. And I'm going to say that they're probably correct in some things and they're probably not correct in some other things. And you're going to have to discern that. But what I'm watching with the people of God is not much of that is happening. They really have drunk the Kool-Aid of the world and are just following the patterns of what everybody else does. Very few Christian lives look different to the lives of unsaved people. Mostly they just look the same. The points of difference are becoming less and less and less. And we are becoming more like the world, and they're just the same as the world. But it's us morphing into them. They're not coming to us. And there's a lot of things that happen when we start doing that. One is we lose the power and the working of God like we want it to be. When you look at the Bible in any of these things and you look at this, there's a part of that that you can say, well, the society of the nation of Israel did these things and they have this priesthood and you know, they operated in this manner. And that, you know, if you're being factual, that's factual. But from a spiritual side, do I have a water? Did you get me a water? The church has been running out of water. My idea is to drill a well or something out there, and we won't run out. Thank you. But what you have to do is look at it from a spiritual perspective and understand, well, why this? Right? Because there wasn't before, and now there is at this point, or soon after. So why? Okay, and the theology part of it says, what was the mind of God in doing this? why this way? You know, I mean, Egypt had their structures. Other people had other ways. Why this? What was the point of that? And there's some reasons. And it goes back to understanding that the plan of God was to get a group of people who he would call out unto himself. It started with Abraham and the first renowned individual of faith, and Abraham had many thereafter him, and so there was a real physical body of people that God called to himself. And the idea was that he was going to bring these people out. Remember, he led them out. You've got to follow him. You've got to follow where he's going. So you've got to watch him. And you've got to watch. And with the benefit we get, we've got the whole story. So we actually can follow it. We're not sort of in Abraham's day where we say, I wonder, where all this is going to lead to. We actually have the benefit of watching the working of God all the way through. And by the way, watching the people of God. And we're supposed to learn from that, because there's some things there too. And so you watch the working of God, and God has called out these people. And the idea is that this people will not just be a people, they will be a nation. They're going to be a nation people. But they're going to be different to all the other nations. You know, at this time, a few million people living in China. Right, you can go back to this time, and this wasn't the only place on the earth where there were people, right? The Chinese were there, and the Indians were there, and others. There was, migratory things going on, but you can go back, and there were other peoples in the world. And when you look at it globally like that, and God was aware of that, that there's all these people, and it's interesting because, you can read about, early leaders or emperors or clans in China by their own records, and you realize, well, they had a culture and they had stuff going on, and there was others going on in other places, and stuff going on in Europe. And so, but here is something distinct, because this is the only country where God says, this is mine. And I'm going to particularly work here. And this is going to be different because I'm the leader, right? So China's got their leaders, and they weren't like they are now, but they've got their clans, their groups, other places. There's people all over the world. It's not just here. There's not just these feudal nations in the Middle East and there's no one else. But God is focusing in this area on these people, and he's pulled them out. And the idea is, okay, these are mine. And by the way, the church is that. These are mine. And the plan is that he's going to lead them, and their blessings are going to come through him, and he's going to protect them, and he's oversighting the whole thing, like a good leader or a good president or someone would do. And so the people of God who are going to live here and move into this area, God understands that their health, their blessings, their happiness, their protection, the fact that their children are going to be okay. Do a study sometimes on what God says about, he uses the phrase, your little ones. And if you've got grandchildren or little children, and you know how they get in your heart, have a think about that, your little ones. Because God said we can be in a place that'll be good for your little ones, where their life will be good. Or if this goes wrong, it's going to go really bad for your little ones. And if you believe that, and you're thinking about your children and your grandkids, you'd be really wanting it to be right. As much as you could control things, you don't want that to go wrong. And so that's an interesting thing. So the people of God, their blessing and everything they're going to have is dependent on them being in a right alignment or a right relationship, or that may be more a New Testament concept, but but an obedience to God. Okay, do you get that? Because all they have is the Lord. And God has made it really clear to them. Everything you have, I give you. And all the blessings, I give you. But you've got to understand this. If you move away from me, if you disobey me, if you go lukewarm to me, you're called by name Israel, but you're not really Israel in heart, right? Some Christians are like that. Then everything's going to go wrong. And the end result when it all goes wrong is loss. Okay, what? It's loss. Loss of what? Everything. You lose everything. You lose your happiness. You lose your prosperity. You lose what God gave you before. It's loss. And the penalty for losing God is loss. Okay, it's not losing your salvation. If you're an Israelite, you're always an Israelite. And though you be taken away and be in bondage in another place, you're still an Israelite, but you have suffered great loss. And so everything, the prosperity of this place, and it's a good place, and they're very happy to be there. It is a land of milk and honey, but it's dependent on them staying right with God, which leads us to that map. So God, understanding that, says this: I get it that people are not going to be right with me unless they're spiritually right. And to be spiritually right, they're going to have teachers, and they're going to have spiritual leaders, and they're going to have people who will be guarding over the spirituality of the nation, and they're going to have that close enough to them that it's accessible to everybody. Because the spirituality of the nation determines everything that happens thereafter. So I'm going to gift these people to you, these Levites, and I'm going to place them all through the land. And they're going to be different to you. Okay? You're going to live your life, and you're going to have your farm and do what you do, and you're going to be able to, you know, work for your personal prosperity, and you'll do all of that. But these people, they're not like you. And every preacher needs to understand this. All right, these Levites are not like everybody else. And it will go on to say, they're not allowed to be like everybody else. They're different. They're supposed to be different. By the way, they were different in their dress. Okay, now I'm not going to go back and say that we need to, you know, follow Roman Catholicism and put on our collars, and I'm not even going to say that we need to regulate people's dress. I'll not say that, but I'll say this. A Levite was easily distinguished as a Levite, right? If they walked past, you knew who they were. They were not making an attempt to fit in with everybody else. They were not following the fashions of the day. In fact, as fashions progressed, and don't doubt that they had them, this normal part of sociology, they were not permitted to do that. In fact, they had to bear the reproach of being different, of being distinguishably different, because that was what their life was given to. Now, this great reward was spoken to them, and if I get time, I'll end with the verse, but he said, we're going to have them all throughout the land. And if you look at what the Levites did, they principally gave themselves to the spiritual well-being of the nation. Okay, so in a local church sense, it would be the pastor or the spiritual leaders, particularly those who are called to do this with their whole life, right? But and that's not everybody. I mean, it wasn't everybody. There's 48 cities there. And six are cities of refuge. It's not everybody. They're just scattered that they're out, they're accessible. They need to be there, and we need to have them. It's not everybody, but it's the same application to the spiritual leaders today who are called to be spiritual leaders. And God wants two things. He wants spiritual leaders to be accessible, as in people need them. There's a need. You need the preaching of the Word of God. You will die spiritually without the preaching of this book. Okay, you're done. You're just going to start to decline spiritually, and numbers have already. You know, ask old uncle who's been watching this for about 3 decades, and you see some things. And I'm just telling you, there isn't any of us that don't need this. And without the Word of God being clearly spoken to us, and without us being told clearly the Word of God, whether we like it or don't, or we amen it, or we just go, but we need it. I need it. You need it. We need it. And so God says, I get it that you need it. Because I understand if you don't have this, you will not stay spiritually right with me. And that's what I want you to see. God gets it. If I give you a nation and I give you prosperity and I give you blessings, but I don't work on this part, all what you do have is going to be lost to you anyway. And eventually did. So the idea of the Levites is they are to be accessible, but here's the thing. They were also separated. Right? If you're a Levite, one, you dress differently. And you know, if you went anywhere, I don't think anyone laughed at you, but if you went anywhere, everybody knows. It's a Levite. How do you know that? Look how he's dressed. Oh, okay. Right? I mean, you'd know that. They're not trying to fit in. They're distinguishably different because that's their calling. That's what's been imposed on them. Not only that, they live apart. Okay, they're not living. They have their own cities. And the idea is that I want you to be accessible to the people, and I want the people to be able to get to you, and I want you to spiritually teach the people. But listen, you're not them. And you better understand that you're going to live a different life to all the rest of the people. Now, the trend in Christianity today is the exact opposite of all this. The trend is don't be different, be the same. And not only be the same, really work on being a lot the same and sort of blend in, fit in. Listen, your pastor's first calling is not to be your friend. Okay, you can get friends other places, but you can't get spiritual leaders other places. Your pastor's first duty, my first duty, every preacher's first duty, any country, everywhere, is to be a spiritual leader, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, a shepherd who oversights. That's your task. That's the duty of every spiritual leader. And that's what you want from your spiritual leaders. Now, does that make it a little hard on them? It does. They pay a certain price. Because when you get into this thing, there's always a certain thing where you are different to others. There's a certain thing that you're just not the same. But you'll undo everything in your calling by trying to be the same when you're supposed to be separate. And so here they were. Now, what they were not is living in a monastery where they never came out. That was not them. They were accessible. And you were interacting with them. Why? Well, when you wanted to worship, the Levites were the leaders in this. They had singers. They sang. They led singing. You felt burdened of God to present a sacrifice, an offering. They were involved with that. You took it to them. And they guided you through the process of that spiritual worship. Now they're not accountable for you; they're accountable for themselves. But God understood the spirituality of the people is dependent on these people being here, doing their job, because if the people go into spiritual decline, they will not only lose me; they'll lose everything that I've given them. And that's what you have to understand. Now, that was the point of it. That's why they were there, was so that everybody could have access, they could maintain the spirituality, they were given to help the people. This thing can go wrong in one of three ways. So one, if the people drift from the Lord, it's going to go wrong. Because if the people go cold to the Lord, if they get lukewarm to the Lord, if they try to become like the other nations, to us that's just being like everybody else. If they do that, they're going to lose what God has given them, and we will suffer loss. Okay, let's be very frank here. We are watching a global Christianity suffering loss. Now let's be very clear that we are not on an increase, we are on a decline. Let's understand what's going on. Let's understand we have far, far less missionaries on the field than we've had in the last 80 years. We're just a fraction. Okay, that's a decline. And the fact that people don't even care that much, that's a decline. That's a decline. The fact that missions, which is getting the gospel to people who haven't heard, who need to be saved in other places that God deeply cares about, the fact that that is such a low priority in many places is a reflection of the people. Now, I'm talking globally, right? I'm saying it's everywhere. We're going through a period of spiritual decline. And when you've got to work out with this going on who you're going to be. All right? There are some people who just give up. They just say, well, what can you do? You know, the whole place has gone like this. Everybody's gone like this. And who cares? Slip on your jeans and what does it matter? Okay, well, my question is, if it mattered before, why doesn't it matter today? Or did you not understand why you did some of the things you did? Did you just do it because somebody told you? Did you just do it because somebody was imposing on you their view? Why? You've got to ask yourself this. Why do you have the stand for the things you have a stand? Do you understand why you do what you do? Do you have a conviction about the way you live, the things you do? Do you have that? And so there's definitely a downward trend. We know that. You know, I travel a bit. I see what's out there. I see the good, and I praise God, but I also see the other. So the Lord understands. So if the people go wrong, it goes wrong. By the way, did it go wrong? It did. They rejected from there. Now, not right away. There was quite a period of time, but eventually that's what happened. So if the people go cold in their hearts, they can lose the blessing. The second thing is if the Levites are not doing what they're supposed to do. So if the Levites lose their way, then that's going to have an effect on the people. And I won't read it, but, you know, there's passages in Jeremiah where God says, woe, you know, unto the shepherds and they've scattered my flock. And, I mean, you know, it did happen as well. So it can go wrong that way. Or it can go wrong by both of those things happening. The Levites lose their way, the people lose their way, and the whole thing goes into a spiritual decline. But the intent of God with all of this was to help the people stay spiritually right so they could continue to be blessed of God and live the life that God wanted them to live and also to be the people that God wanted them to be, because the idea is that from these people is going to become the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes out of these people, he's not going to be just a gift to the Middle East. He'll be a gift to the people of China. He'll be a gift to the people in South America. He's a global gift. And that's why, you know, it was great tidings and joy to the world. Joy to the world. Okay, that was a change of tone. Because when the Messiah came, this is a global gift, because in him is salvation for all people who will believe. But he's going to come out of this. So these people have got to be right. And so that was God's intent with putting the Levites through the land in this way, to keep people spiritually right. What are you doing to keep yourself spiritually right? Okay, we're in a day of decline, and it's everywhere, and it's hard, but what are you doing? You know, so you mean, what are you doing? Well, Well, some people I know just, you know, listen to a sermon a day, just to have something coming in that's, you know, stirs them and helps them. And I'm not saying you get, you know, sidetracked and some extremist. There's plenty out there. But people look for edifying things to help them. You've got to work on your own spirituality, right? You've got to say, well, I'm still for reaching the lost. I get it that that's the heart of Jesus. You know, I'm still for having some standards about some things, trying to be God-honoring. And I don't want to, you know, I don't impose upon others my views on those things. I will, in my own church in Thailand, teach Bible principles and let the people make decisions about that. But, you know, you have to think that through. Well, you know, what do I think a Christian ought to be? And honey, how are we going to raise our kids? And honey, who are we listening to here? And, you know, are we just going down the same track as everybody else? And it seems that many are. You know, what are we doing here? So we're going to be working on that. Let me give you that passage about the Levites, because, you know, there was a blessing to them as well. And it's in Numbers 18. And this is really special. And I believe that every preacher and every pastor and spiritual leader could, you know, lay claim to this principle and should be encouraged by it, should be taught by it, but should be encouraged by it. And it's verse number 20. And by the way, this is a series, which obviously there's many things here because I'm about to wrap up, but verse 20, and the Lord spake unto Aaron and says, well, I just said that, the Bible doesn't, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. God is saying, listen, you're not going to have what they all have. Okay, that's not you. Okay, you're mine. Okay, and you better understand, you are not them. But they will have what they have, but listen to me, the inheritance you have will be me. And that's far better. And that's very, very special. That's God giving something very, very special. He said this, look, you're not them, and don't live like them, and don't chase what they chase, and don't try to emulate, don't go after their life. Okay, rise above that. You won't have what you see many others have, but I'm your part. And I'm your inheritance. That's what he said. And there's just a continual tone here of God saying to these people, look, you know, you're not them, you're not to be them, and you're not to try to be them, but you're mine. You're mine. And a spiritual leader who's called of God needs to remember his own story. Okay, you were selected of God. You've been called. When he called you, he called you in a very honoring way. You were chosen above others. And you may not have even seen in yourself, I know for me, but you may not have seen what God was seeing or knowing was going to come. But you need to remember who you are. So we've got a global trend going on where people are trying to dumb down what happens up here in the front. All right, so the pastor sits on a stool in a pair of jeans with a V-neck t-shirt. You know, he's just one of the guys. And the young people love it. All right, you're leading the church into spiritual decline. Be careful. Okay, you're dumbing down what God says is holy. Now again, we don't want to go to the other extreme where we're going to come out in white collars and pointy hats. We're not saying that either. We're saying let's just understand the principles here and let's just pray about how it applies. Now there's nothing I said to you tonight that I didn't say to the church in Thailand. If you don't believe me, you can go back and I probably said it a lot harsher and harder. But we need to understand all these principles, because our people will suffer loss if they're not where they should be with the Lord. And being led to be where you need to be with the Lord is often enjoyable, but sometimes not. So I'm saying, if you're sitting in the pews and you sometimes hear something that you don't really wish you'd heard, evaluate it on, was that biblical? All right, just evaluate it that way. Well, was that true? Well, did what pastor say, was that Bible? And if it is Bible, then just, you know, okay, it is what it is, right? And that's good for all of us, okay? Spiritual growth is not just all positive, positive, positive. Spiritual growth sometimes is a little bit, I don't want to say negative, but corrective. And we need that, right? Because otherwise, you know, it's not good for us. You can't lead your kids positive, 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 no correction. You have to correct sometimes. Now, you know, how you correct is probably tied to what you're dealing with. It doesn't mean, is correction something you do to your children because you hate them? Or is correction you do something because you deeply love them and you want them to have a good life and you want them to have, you know, happiness, and you don't want them to get caught in things that bring them down? That's why you do it. Well, God is the same. So I'm going to finish. That's a beginning thought. Okay, it's just a lot of things in there. I'm in process of a series with our church entitled. It's just a lot of things in there about all of this to do with the Levites. Okay, Pastor, thank you. Amen.